Hello, everyone. This is Nicolas Cage, and I'm just happy to be back here on the Mohole Radio. It's good to be back. I've just seen a new movie, cause as usual, I'm still broke. But this was great. There was a very attractive young woman I got to work with, and a very sexy young boy. So, without any further ado, here's El Topo.
Well, thanks, Nick. It's always great to have you on the show. I'm a little... you're talking about Kick-Ass, I assume, right? That's the movie you're talking about?
Oh, yes.
You said it was a very attractive young girl, but you do know that she was very much underage. How do you feel about that?
Well, in my line of work, I've found that underage is more of a state of mind. As opposed to the state that you're in.
All right, Nick.
Was illegal at that particular state.
We're definitely going to have you back on a little bit later to talk about the movie, because all of us here at the show... saw the movie and really liked it.
Did somebody shit themselves? It smells like poop.
Does currently, smell like poop? Right here.
It smells a little bit like
smells
poop.
Smells like poop. I think my cat took a dump and didn't cover it up again.
I didn't step on anything. Well, a cage mobile.
Right now, we are coming at you live. Thanks for tuning in to the Mohole Radio. We're at, what did I affectionately call this place? DEFCON 4.
Right.
This is not live.
Yeah, we're at Vinny's place.
This is clearly recorded.
I think it's live.
It's live to us.
We're live right now.
Yeah, I'm alive.
Then we're not taping this. Yeah. Right?
Think about it, Nick. Think about it hard.
well, gee, I don't know. I'm still getting paid.
Well, what I was saying, we're coming at you live, but you might be hearing this recorded at a secondary time. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we're, you know. Think about that.
Nick looks like he just shit himself.
It does smell a little like poop in here.
Yeah.
But I like it. It adds to the character of the show.
Duty!
But
I like to shop at
the anybody. Anyway, thanks for stopping by. We have a jam-packed show for you this afternoon. We have a full cast of characters with you. We have Vinny.
Hello.
We have Goggs.
Abject silence.
Don't do that.
Hello, everybody.
You're on the radio. Yeah. You can't be silent.
Oh, right. There's no...
Silence on the radio just means nothing. It's terrible.
Dead air.
Yeah. So how you doing, Goggs?
I'm doing good, buddy. I'm fucking all amped up.
That's right. We're going to talk a little bit about that right now, as a matter of fact. And, of course, you have me, El Topo, your host.
Woo!
Clearly the best part of the show.
Clearly.
All right. So what happened over this weekend, gentlemen? I'll tell you what happened. Smash-a-thon 2010.
Smash-a-thon!
Love it. New favorite hobby.
All right, now let me explain to you. Let me put you in the frame of reference that I'm trying to get to you. I am, like I've said on the show a couple of times already, I'm in the process of moving. I have 98% of my stuff out of my old house. But there was an old entertainment stand that I had no means to get anywhere. So I came up with the idea that I was going to... If we broke the hell out of the entertainment stand, that we could, you know, take it to the dump. We could literally smash it into smaller pieces. And in fact,
smithereens.
We talked about this briefly on the show last week.
Yeah, the end of last show.
Because I asked Vinny if he had an axe, and he said he didn't, but he wanted one. That kind of axe. So we decided that over the weekend we were going to stage Smashathon 2010.
2010.
Now, Goggs, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. How would you explain Smashathon 2010 and your feelings about it? Thank you.
I've never done heroin, but professionally, but I could not explain how great I felt. I tried to explain it for the rest of the day, how great I felt, and it was just, it was the best. It was the best sensation
ever.
I mean, I don't know about ever. Because, you know, loved ones listen to this show. But it was good. I had a lot of
stress.
Your wife
listen to this?
She does.
Oh, bad idea.
Does she like the show?
She does.
That's awesome.
So, I've been under a lot of stress lately between work and this big exam I was taking, which is over and done with now, so I'll be back on the red.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
And
good times on the red.
That was the day before Smashathon.
Right.
And let me tell you, just swinging that 10-pound hammer around, just destroying things, just with willpower and might and physics it's awesome. I was just fucking, the rest of the day, I was just amped. Like, I haven't been in a while.
I mean, I will say, I've known you for a long time, Goggs. A long time. Been through a lot of good times or bad times with you. I have never seen a look of elation on your face that I did on Smashathon. Like, as soon as the hammer connected to... Well, the first thing you smashed was a grill.
Yeah.
We had an old grill in the back that Gog smashed the shit up. But the look on that came over his face, it was like...
I'm just going to let this go in the background, just very low.
It was like 35 Christmases at once.
It was awesome.
I've never seen Gogs have sex, and I don't ever want to.
That's a horror.
But I can imagine. Like I could imagine that's what his face looks like after.
I just want to everything. Now, I just want to break. It's like Bringe and Purge, you know? It's like, perhaps it's just the way the light falls, but everything I look at, I just figure... I just want to break it, not for maliciousness, just for
so now
I get you're chasing high. The dragon.
So now every time you see something, you wonder if you can smash it.
I don't. Not only do I wonder if I can, mm-hmm. I'm what thinking about what the proper way to go about it would be.
Nice.
Come from the side, maybe to come from the front.
So talk about how he was before before we started the show today, and why.
Oh, he. You know. Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Vinny. Gogs was very tired, and he didn't.
Had a long night.
He didn't want to come out. See, excuses. We don't need those.
No.
And
shut your mouth.
Who said I didn't want to come out?
You did. Clearly, with your actions, you acted like lethargic, and that you didn't want to hang out with us. Vinny and I suspect that Gogs actually doesn't like us anymore.
Yeah,
he doesn't like the show.
I'm actually positive. That's
come on.
Yeah, and but anyway, Vinny, being the kind sir that he is, figured something for Gogs to smash at his house. And as soon as he smashed it, it was just a CD, a pot, and a couple of pieces of wood. But as soon as he just wantonly destroyed those products, it was like a new man.
He's better.
I'm back.
He's the way you hear him now.
It really is. Yeah. Like, to him to make the connection to heroin, it really is. Like, it's like heroin addicts feel like death until they get more heroin.
It's dead on.
Now I just need to be normal. I need it to be normal.
Let me, I'm gonna go to Vinny and ask him about his thoughts for Smashdown 2010, but Gogs, I wanna ask you, could you describe the event in three words? I would just like you to, just for our audience, to encapsulate your experience of Smashdown 2010 into three simple words.
That's godlike power.
Nice. Very okay. nice. Now, Vinny, you also participated and seemed to really enjoy yourself. Not to the level that Gogs did.
No, I don't think anybody would enjoy it to the level that Gogs did.
I don't think, personally, I don't think I've ever enjoyed anything to that level.
As much as he enjoyed that.
Anything,
right?
No.
Yeah. I agree with that. No, I think it was a smashing success. See what I did there?
I did. I like it.
Oh,
I think it went really, really well.
It went great! But you enjoyed it as well, as did I. I thought it was a lot of fun.
It was better than I thought it
would. I had a blast. Part of me was a little bit worried. I've got this stuff, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Celox, and it's so if you get a deep wound, you pour it into the wound, and it packs the wound tight, so that you can wrap a thingy around it. It stops the bleeding immediately. I brought that with me,
just in case.
And a little part of me wanted to see something like that happen. Right. So I'm going to go ahead and say I'm a bit disappointed that nobody got any sort of gushing bloody wound.
Now
I'm going to say I'm not disappointed in that. I'm pretty happy with the way it went.
That's fine.
Now, Vinny, you actually provided the smashing tools.
I did.
Now, what did you get? Just to let everybody know. And for our listeners out there, we did videotape everything, and we will get it up on the website eventually. It just takes a little while.
Takes time.
Shit. But it will be up there.
Takes a while.
All right, so... But what did you pick up for Smash?
I went to Home Depot, and you know what? It was really the perfect lead-up to the Smash.
Yeah, please explain your hard times
at Home Depot. It was an entire day's worth of awkward social interactions with people. So, I walk into the Home Depot full well knowing that I need, one, an axe,
boom,
two, a sledgehammer,
love,
and three, some sort of bodily safety function, so I was going to get goggles. And I knew that as soon as I walked in. I knew it before I was going there, but as soon as I walked through the door, there was, like, a greeter there. And I'm used to that sort of thing. Usually they just, you know, they make note of you so that when you're leaving they can call somebody if it looks like you stole something. But this time, he was some sort of disabled. I don't know what it was. And he kind of threw me off when he asked me, you know, it wasn't just a, hey, how you doing? It was a, hi, what can I help you find today? And now, like I said, I knew exactly what I was getting. But when he asked me the question, I blanked. So I was like, no, I'm okay, thank you, as if he, like, offered me something.
Sure.
And this was his reply. If that's how you're going to be, fine.
That is the worst customer service I've ever heard.
That's what he said. If that's how you're going to be, fine. And that threw everything off kilter from that point on.
And that wasn't the only...
No, that wasn't the only one. So now I grab the cart, and I know where I'm looking, so I go and I find the axe, and I'm real happy. As I'm walking out to the garden center to get the sledgehammer, I catch the eye of another guy just standing around doing a whole bunch of nothing. And I didn't think anything of it. But as I walk past him, he realizes that I saw him, and he saw me, and he does one of these. He says, "How you doing today, sir? You having a good day?" You know, in that...
A little sarcastic.
Yeah, in that sarcastic kind of acknowledge the fact that I'm here kind of sound.
Ugh.
And I looked right back at him, and I was like, "I'm doing fine, thank
that
you very
seems
much."
Like, so, like, why did he feel the need to do that?
I don't know, it was
probably
really bizarre.
Because no one ever loved him growing up.
That's probably true.
And he wasn't big, he was just standing there.
Look at me!
Doing nothing. So anyway, so I get the sledgehammer, the axe, and the safety goggles. I sped the fuck out of there and got over
Kudos
to
Kudos on the safety goggles, by the way. That was forethought.
Smart play, no, safety first.
Absolutely.
And the Celox, don't forget about that.
Always.
I didn't even tell you about that.
No,
because I didn't want you thinking about it.
But you did come dangerously close a couple times to that.
To lopping your own knees off.
Yeah, I did. I almost took my foot right the fuck off my leg.
I mean, you know, those things aren't toys, but man, they're fun to play with.
They really, really are.
And
just like guns.
The thing is, like, just to people say, the first thing I told my buddy, yeah, he asked me, he's like, "Vinny got, like, a hatchet?" I'm like, "No, not one-handed. You got a two-handed
axe."
Yeah,
you can definitely. Now, it's not as big as a wood-splitting axe would be.
No.
But you could use two-handed.
Don't slight your axe. It's a
pretty nice axe. Well, it's metal,
you
which
split,
I like
you
better.
You can split wood with that.
You certainly could
split wood. No, you can split wood with it. You bury that in there, then you fucking take that fucking sledge down the back end of that axe.
If anybody else could see how excited he is as
just
he's telling us.
About,
let's split wood. Just anyone have a fireplace?
Any of that.
Unbelievable.
It's like he's found his calling in life.
He really has.
It's hard to describe how ecstatic you are.
It's unbelievable.
We're going to go to his house next week, and everything's just going to be fucking broken.
Yeah, poor I feel bad for your wife.
It feels so good.
I mean, I saw your wife this morning, and I asked her, I was like, "Did you get to see Goggs in his fucking high, I don't know, post-smashing state?" And she goes, "Yeah, he was a bit ridiculous."
Well, it didn't help that right after we did that.
Now, hold up.
Fine.
After that, what did we do, Goggs? After Smashathon 2010, what did we do?
We had phenomenal pizza, and then we saw Kick-Ass.
What was the name of that pizza
let's
place?
Let's give a plug for
let's definitely give a plug to that place.
Squisitos in Maryland. Holy
really
shit.
Really good.
And specifically, they're a franchise, but the one we went to was in Arundel Mills.
Hanover.
Arundel Mills.
That place is called.
Yeah.
Fucking delicious.
Buffalo chicken pizza.
Really delicious
Everything
pizza. But after the pizza, what else did we do, Goggs?
We saw Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass.
All right. And, let's give our review a Kick-Ass.
Let's.
I honestly think it's one of the best action movies I've seen in 20 years. Action sequences, phenomenal. How did you feel, Goggs?
I loved every fucking last minute of it. Good story. Characters you gave a shit about.
Absolutely.
Fucking phenomenal action sequences. Not that blurry, shaky camera. You can't see what's going on. Like they
Michael
put
Bay.
They put you there. You saw... Yeah. Everything, and you saw people do crazy, wacky shit, and it was awesome. It was brutal, and it was
well
an 11-year-old murdering people.
Yeah, I mean, you had like it did everything that you could want in a movie. It was funny.
It was very funny.
I mean, a lot of times action movies like try really hard to be funny, and they just fail. They fall flat. But this movie really had it had great characters.
Gary Glenn Ross.
It had great characters. It had great action. And a good plot. And it was a lot like, it was a good adaptation to the comic. So if you're a fan of the comic, you're going to like the movie. But I wouldn't say, and both of you guys have never read the comic. You guys didn't feel like you missed anything by not reading the comic, right?
No,
like you
were. Yeah. They did a really good job.
I'd say it's the Michael Clayton of action movies.
How did you feel about it, Vinny?
I liked it most because it didn't, primarily because it didn't take itself too seriously.
No, not at all. I agree with that.
It was really, the whole thing was really kind of lighthearted, even while the 11-year-old was like running around stabbing people in the chest.
Murder fest.
Now, before the movie came out, Roger Ebert and his half a face came out and said that the movie was, excuse me, the movie was morally reprehensible. And
fuck
I don't have the exact quote, but he said in his review.
Can you really say it though?
No,
that's awful.
Well, I already made fun of the fact that he only has half a face, so that's
he did do that.
That's pretty bad. But I'm a dick. What can you do? He said that, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact quote. He basically said, "If you like Kick-Ass, you're part of a world that I never want to be in."
Well, thankfully, he won't be in our world for much longer.
Oh, he's gonna die.
But let me ask you guys this.
That's not a threat. That's
no,
just saying
just
that you
happen.
Will die of natural causes.
We're all dying.
Soon.
Yes.
Let me ask
Don't
you guys
think
this.
Threat, Roger, because I know you're listening.
Now, me personally, there was a lot of the reviewers that didn't like the film.
Gene Shalit.
There was a few. I mean, generally, the movie got positive reviews. So Rotten Tomatoes, I think right now it stands at like 74% fresh, which is pretty
fresh.
But the few reviews that I read that didn't like it, which pissed me off, they didn't really critique the movie. They were just so offended by the little girl.
God damn it, really?
And all that stuff, that they didn't really focus on the movie. And see, Roger Ebert did that, and it pissed me off because you're there to give me a review of a film, not give me your fucking social commentary. Because that's he just used it as a soapbox to basically say, you know, oh, the world's going to shit. But, like, the thing is, the movies like this, like, critics should be behind a movie like this because the reason why movies are so fucking bland and boring nowadays is because they're predictable.
Yeah.
Because most executives, most directors would go, I can't make this movie. There's an 11-year-old girl murdering people left and right. And you know what? No one's going to watch it. But this guy, Matthew Vaughn, who can't be commended enough, he took a risk and he made a really interesting movie because have you ever seen that? Like, when you first see her on screen, you're like, what the hell is going on?
It's completely awesome. And unexpected and unpredictable. That was probably the best part of it for me.
But let me get back to my original point. So a lot of people, a lot of critics were saying that this movie was disgusting and vulgar and wrong. How did you guys feel? Do you feel that they overstepped their bounds, that it was too much?
I've seen way worse in movies.
Yeah.
Requiem for a Dream, for example, was a way worse.
Oh,
what was that?
Jesus Christ.
Did that smash at all?
No.
It was a way worse, like, fucking experience as far as how I thought it was depicting bad shit. Like, this little girl.
Good movie, though.
Good movie. Yeah, I only need to see it once, but good movie. But this little girl destroyed shit. She got beat up by the worst thing that happened to her was she got
getting beat up a little bit.
She got beat up by an adult.
But she got beat up, she was still holding her own.
It was a fair fight. It wasn't like she got, like, tortured and raped and attacked. She got into a fist fight, and she held her fucking own.
The way they filmed it and the way I viewed it, it was like watching any other, and, you know, maybe this speaks something to, you know, my character and the way film is going in general, but it didn't have any impact on me at all while I was watching.
No, revenge flick.
Yeah, it was two action characters in a fight scene.
Yeah, and the other thing that helped with the movie was they set her character up like she was going to be proficient in fighting. Like, in context of the movie, it would make, like, if you had, like, a regular movie that wasn't an action movie and you had a little girl getting in a fist fight with a 45-year-old man, then I can see why you'd be like, wow, this is crazy. This sucks. This is
not
awful.
Not only would it not make sense,
right,
but it would be a little weird.
Like, the Man on Fire, Dakota Fanning, it just caught, like, five across the eyes.
Right.
Then we got a problem.
That's different. But in this movie, they set it up in context. She was, like, a hell of a fighter. She was tough as nails.
Yeah.
And for the most part, she's kicking all the ass.
I think it speaks to the director and the writer that they were able to make the audience believe that an 11-year-old girl could be this fucking awesome and brutal.
And I was talking to Vinny a little bit while we were eating delicious Taco Bell, and that's a free plug. If Taco Bell wants to sponsor oh my God. But Hit Girl, best part of the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah. This is the picture Roger Ebert used on his...
Yeah, and in a picture that Goggs is showing is she is in the act of punching the main bad guy in the face. So what's wrong with that?
You really do forget that she's an 11-year-old.
That's what I'm saying. There's like a power to that. There's a way that they were able to create her character that you're not sitting there the whole time in disbelief going,
oh my God,
why would an 11-year-old do this? The whole time you're just like, fuck, that girl was bad ass.
And another thing that the detractors of the movie will say is that her use of profanity was overboard. I know I curse all the time. I didn't really feel like she cursed that much.
I didn't fucking notice it at all.
She said, like, cunt and fuck, like, twice.
Did she say cunt?
She said cunt. She said, let's see what you cunts can do.
I remember that.
But it wasn't that bad. And honestly, when I was 11 in fifth grade, I know I cursed like a sailor.
I cursed.
So again, like, you're gonna live, like, people are living this fucking fantasy world where kids don't curse. Kids curse. I cursed more when I was that age than I did now.
And I don't, you know, it's a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the big deal?
There's no big deal.
There's no, just fucking, I think the people, the detractors of the movie just, they needed an excuse to not like it, and that's what they chose, and that's all there is to it.
See, I think, I agree with you, Vinny, and I think inherently, comic book movies have to wow people, especially critics, because they have preconceived notions, like, this is a comic book movie, this is stupid. You know, like, they have this kind of, like, I don't want to say holier than thou, but they're definitely, like, an elitist attitude. Because when they come to comics, like, oh, these are kiddie movies, you know, this isn't respectable cinema.
Right.
And I feel like that if you read a lot of movie reviews for comic movies, even the good ones, I feel like they always have to get past that. And it's kind of bullshit to me because, like, why don't novelizations that are made into films get that kind of scrutiny?
Because they don't want pictures.
But it's stupid. It's just like any, it's, you're retelling a story.
It's a story.
Dude, all, the thing about it is, and this isn't even, it's a comic book movie, yes, but it's a comic book movie about non-traditional, it's a comic movie about people who want to be comic book heroes.
Yeah.
And so it grounds it in a, no one does anything that wouldn't be, granted it would take years of training and physical prowess, but no one did anything in the movie that would be nothing superheroish.
There's a little something in the end.
Shut up.
So, like, and Hit Girl herself is not, that's not possible.
No.
But that is just, I mean, that, and that's
my daughter will do it.
Okay. That's the part of the movie that really takes the comic book edge, you know, like that's what makes it.
But it doesn't feel out of place.
Funny story.
No. It doesn't feel out of
place. It's a Batman-ish sort of thing. A mortal with, a normal person with over the top ability and resources.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, another thing we got to point out, like, getting off of Hit Girl, another highlight to the movie, in my opinion, was, and he gets a lot of shit, Nicolas Cage
did awesome
unbelievable.
Job. Awesome job.
And when he played a character, Big Daddy, which was Hit Girl's father. When he's in the Big Daddy character, like, when he's in costume, he talks like Adam West.
It's just fucking hilarious. Amazing.
And Big Daddy essentially looks like Batman. Yeah. I mean, he looked like that, but, like, he was like, so... He did the fucking Adam West voice. It was hilarious.
Oh, ass that, kick. I'm glad to see you.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is that part of the comic? No. Or did he add that flair?
That was total. I mean,
how would you even write that in the comic?
Well, that's, I was going
to
be my next question.
Well, in the comic, well, I don't want to give anything away to people who haven't read the comic. If you haven't read the comic, it's available in a hardback form. It's like $20 from Marvel. It's great. But the comic and the movie go separate ways.
Break those chains that bind you. One night, and remind you how the dark times have separated ways.
All right, that's enough of that.
Journey.
That's the kind of stuff that doesn't happen over Skype. That's why the campfire sessions are better.
What was I saying? I totally lost my train of
thought. Separate ways.
Basically, I was talking about the differences between the comic and the movie. The comic... The Big Daddy character is a lot sillier. Like, and there's a big twist towards the end of the comic. And he's a lot more hard-edged in the movie. But I think the changes that they made actually are a better story than the comic. Like, I think the movie is actually more fleshed out and it was way better to do than what the comic was. The comic worked for the comic worked for the medium that was in, but if you just straight went with what they did in the comic, I don't think people would have liked it as much. Without giving too much away, the ending is not a happy ending in the comic. And I just think that it would have been too much of a downer. And people have been like, well, why did I watch this? So what they did worked. And I think, like I said, it worked better for the movie.
It really rode the line between like dark and melancholy and lighthearted and funny.
You know, it was real emotion.
You know what I think?
Yeah, there was.
And characters you gave a shit about.
I think a lot of what they did, and like I talked about this earlier, the fact that when they had comedy relief, it was actually funny.
Yeah, it was good.
And it pulled you out. Like, there's a scene where Kick-Ass, excuse me.
Yeah, you sound awful.
I know, sorry. Kick-Ass gets...
That's semen for you.
Kick-Ass gets tortured. Oh, He's being tortured live on the internet.
It was brutal.
And while this is happening, it's a brutal scene, but while this is happening, one of the main character's nerdy friends, this girl is taking refuge next to him. So there's this great scene where he's like hugging this girl and he kind of gives his buddy that's across the table from him, he's like, hey, look over here. And like, it was a perfect moment.
It pulled you, pulled you out of the morbidity
of the live torture. And it was a perfect, it was pinpoint comedy relief. That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
But it also made a good point because, one, it's Kick-Ass's friend who didn't know Kick-Ass was his boy, so he doesn't feel that emotional tie to him. Right. And it kind of shows you how humanity is like, oh, this is awful. Oh, wait, I could get some ass.
Sure.
I'm just going to hug up on her anyway.
I will also say, you know, we're talking about how it skirted the line. I think that its choice of music helped separate the violence from what you're watching. Like, the first Hit Girl scene when she's just slaughtering people... It's like this really upbeat, like poppy sound. It's like la 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 la, and it's just like, and it's like she's just cutting people's legs off and stabbing people through the face. Yep.
And was it I Want Candy? What was the song?
I don't even know. But the, just the fact that you did that music over that scene, it takes the edge off.
It did.
Of the violence.
It and really did. It,
you know, Matthew Vaughn is a great director. If you guys haven't seen Layer Cake, awesome. Fucking awesome movie. Same director. Fantastic. But he really should be given a lot of credit. This was a great movie. And one of the reasons I think it was good is because Matthew Vaughn is English, and this was an English production. So you want to make a good movie, you got to make it overseas.
Yeah, don't make it here.
You can't make it in America.
Next was when Mark Strong was on.
I don't think if this movie was made by a different director, I think it would have sucked.
Tarantino could have done it.
Tarantino could have done it.
I'm not a fan of Tarantino.
I am. Huge fan.
How are you not a fan of Tarantino?
I'm not going to say I don't like him. I just did. No, I said I'm not a fan.
Well, that's
different.
Isn't that the same?
No, not at all. I mean, you can go to, like, I could go to an Orioles like game and not be a fan.
Did you like Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah, it was a good movie.
There you go.
But, for example, I didn't like Kill Bill.
Wow, really?
I loved it. Didn't like it.
Did you like the second more boring movie, or didn't like the whole shebang?
Didn't like the whole thing.
Did you like Reservoir Dogs?
I liked Reservoir Dogs.
Did you like Pulp Fiction?
Like Pulp Fiction.
So you're generally a fan, then.
No, but I'm not a fan of
Romance.
You liked three of his movies.
I like the content.
Well, that's.
I don't necessarily like the way he directs stuff.
I don't quite.
I think he goes a little over the top.
But isn't that the content?
This is confused by it.
I'm really confused by this.
Okay, so I like the stories.
You like three of his movies, but
Kill Bill had a yellow cover.
That's true.
Oh,
we might
be onto something here. Okay, fair. Maybe that's it. I just don't like yellow.
And she was in a yellow jumpsuit.
Hey, that's awesome. You know, that's funny because one of the first when I think about that movie is all the yellow. I think that's it. Maybe I am a fan, and I didn't like the color scheme.
Fuck. All right. And that means you didn't like. Well, wasn't a Mr. Yellow in Reservoir Dogs?
No, there's Mr. Blonde. Yeah. But he likes Reservoir Dogs. That was a good movie.
Yeah. Mr. Brown must be Mr. Shit.
But anyway, I think we can all agree the kick ass, fantastic movie, great fucking action sequence. Awesome. Just we all loved it. I want to see it again. Did you go see it again today?
No, I didn't have time between when you left me now.
Didn't have time. As he's socially interacting with his.
I'm trying to see on IMDb if Kick-Ass got the top box this weekend.
Anyway, well, we're going to have a special guest on because we just talked about Kick-Ass. I think that would be a good thing
for
the show. He did the introduction. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Nicolas Cage to the show. Nick, how you doing?
Topo, I'm doing great. It's just so good to be back. It's been a while. I was filming.
It's been too long,
I think. It has. Yeah. It really has.
I gotta say,
doing good.
You've really done a great thing in Kick-Ass. You're usually in such terrible movies.
It's true.
To see you in a good movie, I was like, you know what? Nick Cage is pretty good. Now, Vinny brought this up a little earlier. You did the Adam West voice for Big Daddy. Was that something you improvised, or is that something you came up with on, like, was that kind of preconceived thing, or how did that come about?
Well, gee, me and Matthew Vaughn were watching dailies, and I was sitting there going, Matt, you know, I think it'd be pretty great if I did Adam West.
Yeah.
And he thought, well, sure, Nick, why don't you go for it? I mean, you're related to Coppola, so you know what you're doing.
Right.
So then I just came at it. I was like, hello, ass kick, it's great to see you here. It's very important we meet. You have potential, and... My daughter's hot. Wait, no.
Whoa. No,
see, she will be, though. She will be.
You know what? I actually said the creepiest thing on the way home from the movie. I said that the girl that played Hit Girl was going to grow up to be hot.
Not the creepiest thing you've ever said.
It's pretty creepy.
It's a little bit creepy.
It was creepy that day. The creepiest thing I said that day.
Right. Now, hold on. Let's baseline here.
Okay.
Is it wrong to say Nick? Hot? I mean, you're not doing anything... By simply commenting, correct?
Yeah, no, but you're not doing anything, but it's still wrong.
I mean, you can't verbally diddle.
Well, not with that attitude.
That you even, you know, said that.
Viddle.
I mean, we're not playing the devil's advocate game right now.
I don't want to play the devil's advocate game. I heard what happened to my good friend Al Pacino on the devil's advocate game, and I don't want that to happen.
To answer your question, I don't think you can actually say an 11-year-old's hot, because that's just weird.
Yeah.
What if you just say she's sexually attractive?
No.
That's even worse, actually. Worse.
Yeah, you're taking it a little step further.
Okay. Let me get you out of this. Let me throw you a life preserver to get you out of this horrible pedophile sea that you're swimming in. Any funny stories from the set or anything?
What if you say you're attracted to her?
All right, stop. Somebody stab Nicolas Cage in the mouth.
From the set, let's see. Well, once again, I didn't get paid. They just gave me my costume.
You got the Big Daddy costume.
I do.
Home.
It's at home. So I'm hoping one day, I guess I just hope that it's worth something because my wife is pissed.
Yeah.
She's like, well, we desperately need cash. And I'm walking home dressed like a Batman with grenades.
Yeah.
So, and I got, they gave me,
did they give you any of the
They gave me McLovin's car.
Well, that was sweet, a sweet car. Mustang.
Yeah. It's fucking cherry.
Now you're a big comic book fan. Is that why you took this role? Did you read the book at all?
I do. I love the book. I'm a big fan of Millar.
Mm-hmm.
It's Millar, but
no, it's not. Nice. Not when you're Nick Cage.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, so know your place.
Now, what's your favorite comic? Would you say?
My favorite comic. Ooh, that's such a good. I'm a huge Superman fan.
Of course, yeah.
Everyone, including my son, knows.
Yeah, you named your son Kal-El. For those of you at home, that
yes,
that was a stupid thing to
Kal-El Cage. So, think about that.
Yeah.
Kal-El Wolverine Cage.
I didn't know his middle name was Wolverine.
Yeah, and his confirmation name is Hal Jordan. So his name is Kal-El Wolverine, and as far as Jesus is concerned, Hal Jordan Cage.
Wow. That's but what's your favorite comic?
Favorite would have to be
Superman?
Superman's are I like All-Star Superman. It's All-Star, pretty good.
Also, you like Grant Morrison.
Who?
Yeah, he wrote that.
Right. I mean, I'm not into authors so much. I'm just, I cash the checks and read the books.
You did a fantastic job in the movie, so we wanted to bring you on and just tell you what a great job we thought you did.
I loved it. Loved every second.
Hope the movie makes a lot of money, so maybe they'll pay you retroactively. Like, if it becomes a big hit.
I just hope I don't get sued for all those people I killed on set.
Oh, well, that's a bombshell, isn't it?
That scene, spoiler alert, so cover up your ears, children. Are we clear?
Okay. Yeah, I think we're good.
The scene in the warehouse where I went all out.
Uh-huh.
As you may or may not know, I'm a method actor.
Mm-hmm.
So those were all immigrants.
Wow.
Undocumented.
Mm.
And I killed all of them. So that was how the scene got its gritty reality. Yeah. I did all those stunts.
Very real.
It did look real.
Those stunts were all cage all the time. Kind of a cage fighter, if I can. Yes. Geez. And the families were told that they died in Operation Iraqi Freedom. So,
Jesus.
Great movie, though. Loved every second of it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by, and we'll have you back again soon.
I would love to go with you guys to the Iron Man premiere, if that could be cool.
We'd love to have you.
Can you drive?
I will.
In that sweet car.
In my several cars.
Sweet Mustang.
It'll be awesome.
That'll be great.
We'll go pick up some chicks.
Yeah.
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 And there's a kindergarten right nearby.
All right. See you, Nick. It's good to have you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, Gogs.
Hey, Guy.
We're talking. Did you find out if Kick-Ass
number 2 behind, guess what?
What?
How to Train Your Dragon.
God damn it.
How much money did it make?
Actually, it made $19.8 million.
That's not bad.
But it didn't beat. How to Train Your Dragon has been out for weeks now.
Kids movie.
And that made 20. So now, it was right there.
That's good. Is the dragon thing still playing on the 3D wave?
I'm sure
it is.
That's got to be. I mean, it made $159 million.
The thing is, man, kids movie, if you market a kids movie right, those things are.
And money. The kids will just see them over and over. Yeah. And when a kid sees it, the parents see it. So every ticket you sell is essentially 2 tickets.
Well, and that parents just want to find shit to make their kids shut the fuck up
for 2 hours. So they can live their own life again for 2 hours.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
But God, still talking about movies.
Tasty.
You saw some movie called Repo: The Genetic Opera. Now, this is something I saw commercials for like years ago. I'm gonna say maybe a year ago.
Right.
And it was like a weird horror movie, and it had a lot of like old like industrial metal people acting in it. Right. So what the hell was that all about?
I mean, it's the exact same premise. Okay, no. Well, it's essentially the same premise as Repo Man, except this came out first. So the idea is, okay, it's the future. Super disease shows up. Everyone starts having organ failure.
Uh-huh.
So, who's the guy that, Snooki looks like?
Snooki?
From Jersey Shore. Paul Sorvino.
Paul Sorvino comes. Dude, look up. Snooki looks like Paul Sorvino.
Isn't Paul Sorvino the guy from Goodfellas?
Yeah. Yes.
That's Mira Sorvino's father.
Correct. Who is hot.
Mira Sorvino is hot.
So, did you ever see, what was that one? It was like her and Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah. Something's high school reunion.
Yeah, like Romy and Michelle.
Romy and Michelle.
Oh, my God. Fucking Mira Sorvino looked gorgeous in that, digress.
All white trashy with real tight
She was
dress.
Also in Mimic, by the way.
Mimic, wow.
That. That was that movie I was talking about. They were the bugs.
Yeah, the bugs. Bug people. Yeah. All right, like so movie. Anyway. So Paul Sorvino invents a way to, or his character, right? It'd be great if it was actually Paul Sorvino. Now pull up Paul Sorvino right next to that face.
Yeah, she's Snooki.
I don't think she looks like Paul Sorvino, though.
Yeah, well.
Snooki's not that hot. I thought you were talking about the main character in True Blood.
No.
That's Snooki.
What's on her head?
That's called a bump.
A poof. Looks like a poof. Fucking bug.
It's what Italian chicks, it's the Italian girl, Weedette answer to the Weedette. Blowout.
Looks like an ant ass.
It looks stupid.
An ant ass.
It's a beehive. But anyway, fucking back to this. So Paul Sorvino's character invents how to like genetically make new organs. Okay. So he does the whole thing where he's selling the organs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you finance them. But now they got these repos. So if you fall on your payments, they're going to cut them back out and take them.
It really is
exactly. It's the exact same premise. The only difference is the new one is synthetic organs.
Yeah.
Like, well, robot organs? This one is actual organs.
Is both those stories based off, like, the same... Is it based on, like, a book or something?
I'm not sure. I've done that much research.
It sounds like the exact same
premise. It is the exact same premise.
Wow.
So it's the exact same movie.
And then the idea is that the main... Now, I didn't watch all of Repo the Genetic Opera. I had to turn it off.
But you said...
Oh, not that good?
Now, you said that they set... It's all singing, right?
Well, it's not a musical, so it's not, like... You know, like, a musical...
I'm about to download it. Should I stop downloading
it? Download it. Why not? We can get some clips. So... It's like in a musical. Here's a typical musical scene.
Right.
So let's pretend we're having a little back and forth. We're in high school.
Right.
We're chatting. Hey, TJ, what's going on this weekend?
I'm about to go to third period, man.
Third period.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we learn math. Third period.
Right.
I hate my teacher. That's a musical. See, we did a little talking, then singing. This is, everything is in prose or in song.
The entire thing
is either like spoken word with a rhythm.
I'm gonna stop it right
and
now.
Rhyming,
I don't
know. Or it's sung. Now it's the whole time. It's like blacklit and visually, it's kind of fun to watch because there's some crazy shit. But acting is awful. Singing's not that bad. But the fact they're singing the whole time.
What's the music like? Is it like cool music sound?
It's kind of like fucking like rock symphony.
Keep downloading it.
No, I'm not.
It's like a rock organ. It's on Fearnet right now.
What the hell's that?
That's that thing.
It's on demand.
It's on demand.
It's a free on demand service.
Fearnet.
You actually can go to fearnet.com and fucking watch it. But anyway, so it's got some cool visual looks to it, but the whole time people are singing and the acting is just bad. And I had to turn it
Paris
off.
Paris Hilton's in it?
Paris Hilton's in it. So
that's enough reason.
Isn't there a guy from Skinny Puppy in it?
Yeah, Nevik Ogre is in it. The lead singer from Skinny Puppy.
So it's just, and so the whole thing is like the repo man's having a change of heart because now his daughter's getting repossessed or something.
So, Vinny, you got the computer up. Can you go to the IMDb?
That's the Freddy movie, Michael Bay.
We'll talk about that in a second. Can you pull up the repo, the IMDb? Maybe it is based on, like, the... It seems crazy that it sounds...
The exact same thing.
And they're both called Repo. Like,
it's Repo Men versus Repo, a genetic opera.
Like, if they're... That's really crazy that...
So, like I'm saying...
Is this 2008 or 2006?
2002. There's two of them?
No, Repo, a genetic opera, you want...
Well, click on the 2006 and see what happens.
There's another...
What the hell is that?
This one might be a live action.
Oh, maybe it was like a play.
It might have been actually on something first.
No, it's a movie.
Speaking of Broadway, that's the one. That one, the picture all the way on the left.
Yeah,
that's
it's just the weird. Art. That was a remake?
God.
It's very confusing.
I mean, visually, it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But, and it's a Lionsgate movie, and Lionsgate will put anything out.
Pretty much.
So.
Well, and it's Twisted Pictures. That's the Saw guys.
So, I mean, it's violent, but it's just, just fucking go, like, literally, if you can... Can you scan forward, advance? Anyway, and they do this whole comic book thing. Can you, like, slide it? Just go, like, the middle.
It looks cool.
It looks cool.
We're watching it right now, everybody at home.
Can you pull the slider to the center? Just pick any random scene in the middle.
Drug market.
Really?
Drug market. Some
So this guy's a grave robber, right? And these grave robbers jam needles into corpses' skulls to get some painkiller out of the dead bodies.
It's a shame it's all goofy and singy, because it sounds like a cool premise. They need me
at all. If it wasn't singing, it'd probably be awesome. A little
glass vial. I think that's Nevik over.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Goes into the gun like a battery.
And the Zytrate. The music is kind of neat.
It's not bad. It feels very industrial. And when the gun goes off, it sparks and you're ready for
surgery. Surgery. Chick's hot.
Oh, whoa. I believe that's Paris Hilton.
Really?
That is?
I think so.
She looks good.
That's not Paris.
I think it is.
Yeah. She's wearing a fucking industrial strength push-up bra. I know that much.
She does not have any.
It's very, sweet. It's very like Batman and Robin lit. Like there's like.
Yeah, Joel Schumacher.
Multicolored lights everywhere and.
Yeah, I think I would have a problem if this just never stopped.
It doesn't stop.
It just doesn't stop.
There's no, advance to another scene. There's Snooki.
Oh, man.
Okay. I mean, you know what? As bad as this is, I kind of want to watch this.
I mean, it wants to be Rocky Horror Picture Show.
But Rocky Horror Picture Show is a musical.
Right, but, I mean, same idea. It wants to have a cult following.
Is the mic picking up all this music?
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's enough of this. We're killing airtime with all this ridiculous
Saying, maybe I should give it another shot, but I fucking turn it off. And if I turn off a movie, it's got to be, you know, fucking awful. It's got to be like Fountain Bad.
Fuck you. That was a great movie. And, you know,
it was something.
It's enough of that.
But Repo the Genetic Opera, maybe I'll watch it again just to give it one more, because I was half watching it playing video. That's the other thing. I wasn't even watching it. I was playing video games and watching it. And I couldn't even, it was annoying me that much peripherally. Like, just on a side note. Because it's all the time with the singing and the yam-yam.
All right, well, how long have we gone?
We're up to 41 minutes.
You want
to
do your Bioshock review and then we'll call it a night?
Let me do that.
Well, we'll have. I plan on having Steven Seagal on the show, but we can do that later.
We'll do him later.
Fuck Steven Seagal.
Yeah, fuck Steven Seagal.
Well, hold your fucking tongues, dude. He'll come in here. He might already be here. He's like.
Yeah?
He's like fucking nature.
I heard he's like the wind.
He is like, I'm like the wind. Hey guys, I heard you were talking about.
God damn
you, Steven Seagal.
Here God now. Damn it.
We don't need you here right now.
Go away. Nobody likes you.
Hey, what are these guys doing? Trying to take my airtime? Well, I just hire them to be my concubines.
He
did kind
of come out of, I think he came out of the air vent.
He did. You know, well, since you're here, Steven Seagal.
Talk, douche.
How do you feel about these charges leveled against you that you hire basically assistants to have sex with, and you have basically like sex slaves 24/7?
Hey.
Yeah? Yes?
Did you hear that?
No.
That's right.
We already told Gogs about radio silence. It's not good.
Listen,
unless you're Jim Rome.
Hey. Extravagant. Rome is burning. What's the rest of stuff Rome says? Phenomenal. Rackham.
Rackham. Yeah, that's Jim Rome. So that's pretty good Jim Rome there, Steve.
Thank you. That's one of my many talents. Listen, let's say one day this radio show takes off and you can get the chance to hire assistants. Tell me you wouldn't fuck the shit out of them.
I mean, I guess I would, but it just seems kind of strange.
The best part is, I fight them first. I tell them I need them to be, you know, in fighting condition.
Right.
So we spar for 20, 30 minutes, and after I've beaten them into submission, that's when the passionate lovemaking starts.
Who raped them?
No. They get a chance to fight back.
It sounds like you raped them.
I mean, if they had beaten me, they could have had sex with me.
So they'd rape you?
Right.
Sounds like a lot of raping.
But
the thing is,
sounds
no,
like a rape
stop.
Party.
No, stop. I don't lose, so...
You rape them.
But it's not rape, because it's consensual fighting into sex. I pay them.
So if you pay someone you rape, it's consensual?
That's according to Michael Jackson.
All right, okay. On that note... nice to have you by, Steven.
Get back out the fucking air vent.
Yeah.
Gogs, you there?
Yeah.
That was
intense.
He just shows up.
I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah. He's like a ninja.
That's just why I don't speak ill of him.
He's real
heavy. Don't speak ill of the Seagal.
He's real heavy for a ninja, but...
Yeah, he's like a chubby ninja.
Very.
Like you?
Boo.
Alright.
I'm cereal.
Bioshock 2 review.
Go.
How do you feel about it?
Atmosphere. Awesome. Like, it wasn't the... Okay.
Check your levels, Loudface.
Check my levels. So, I have the weirdest... My only complaints about Bioshock would be... Oh, don't point to the spikes. Don't. You want me to watch... All
right, stop it.
No, don't do that.
Sustained spike. So
big old block.
So, here we go. My only real complaint about Bioshock... For the rest of you still Bioshock,
tuned in after you blew your fucking speakers out.
I'll tell them. You'll buy new speakers. Shit, where was I? Bioshock. Atmosphere, it's right. It's amazing atmosphere. A great story, once again. Playing as a Big Daddy, at first I thought would be a stupid kind of a cop-out when I first heard the idea, but it works out really well in the context of the game.
Yeah, I loved it.
This is something that I miss in shooters nowadays. I miss, and Bioshock brings the lumber in this regard, I miss the I'm one man carrying 11 weapons aspect of a shooter game. Nowadays you only get like two guns.
Yeah, stupid.
You
love
it.
You get a lot of weapons in Bioshock.
You get like six or eight. And then you got all the plasmids on top of that. I love that.
And,
and
the weapons have dual function.
And you get upgrades to all the weapons.
So you don't get, and they have different ammos. You essentially have, 20 weapons.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But you don't get that anymore. Nowadays, you play Modern Warfare, you play any of these other mainstream shooters, even Halo, you can carry two guns. I miss the Duke Nukem Doom days, where I was walking around with literally an entire arsenal, and I could have a little fun with it. I could mix it up, and that's one of the great things. You can really play this game your own way. You can, because me and Topo played it two different ways, really.
Yep, absolutely.
We use different plasmids in different situations, and the best, and you can't use all the plasmids or upgrade all the weapons in one playthrough, so you really want to play it again to experience that. And then, really, I have two complaints. One, there's no backtracking in this game. And some people say they didn't care.
I was one of those people.
People that made it said they didn't think it would be missed. And while I guess it's true, you don't miss it. You don't really miss it in gameplay overall. It adds a level of stress for me because I'm a completionist. Like, I don't want to miss shit. So I felt that I could never, if I got to the end of the game, or right before the end of the game and found out, like in the old game, if I hadn't caught all of the power-up stations for the weapons or all the little sisters or something, then I could go back and pick them all up or something.
Are you saying you can't go back at all?
No.
Really?
Remember the old game?
Before you get out of a stage, it goes, everything you want because you can't come back.
But once you're in a stage...
Oh, it's not like playing Mario where you can't just back the screen up to the left, but I mean, it's...
What I did when I played through is that I'd get all the little sisters, then I'd go through secondary objectives. I'd harvest all the bodies. I would have an order to things, once I learned how the game was set up.
But I didn't like the fact that I had to make sure I did that I had to be very meticulous.
But wasn't that, how is that any different than the first one? You always had to make sure you got everything.
If I missed something at the end of the game, I could have gone back. I could have gone anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I guess.
So, that's and the only other complaint would be, the game was somehow, at the same time, can be way too hard, and then at the same time, way too easy. Way too easy in the sense that you have those Vita chambers, so you could just fucking, no matter how many times you died, you could just keep coming back, and whatever you killed was still dead, and there was no... I would prefer a checkpoint system,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, especially in the cases where you had to, protect the little sisters while they're harvesting bodies, which is a big part of the game... Like, there were situations where I was out of fucking ammo.
I was just gonna make
that
point.
And I get I get brought back to the Vita chamber, but I have nothing.
No ammo, yeah.
And I still have to deal with the onslaught of people. And it took some crafty thinking. I mean, the Vita chambers are good because they keep you alive, but at the same time, it's not an easy out in a lot of cases.
Ammo was literally never an issue for me. I hoarded.
Oh, I was.
I had nothing. When I finished the game, I had probably full ammo on almost everything. And I had, I couldn't hold any more money in my wallet. I had, $900.
Now, I haven't finished the game yet, but I'm about halfway through, and I can definitely say that ammo conservation is a big problem.
I had a problem with ammo conservation myself.
I don't know why, but for some reason, I
did have a lot
everything.
Of money.
I find everything, and I find all the ammo.
And now, did you get the perk that helps you find ammo? Okay, so that's something, that's a perk that I...
And I hack every machine, and whenever you hack a machine in the blue zones, once you play the game, you'll understand
you get extra stuff.
They dump out ammo and shit for you anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, so...
How did you like the story compared to the first game?
Just as good.
Wow.
I would say,
no twist in this one.
Though. Well, no twist in this one. Okay, maybe not as good, but still
I really liked it. Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
It's compelling.
It's very straightforward.
Very
it's a straightforward narrative.
Very engrossing, like the first one, I would say.
And
it really sucked you in.
If they made a Rapture theme park where they didn't even have to put rides in it. You could just, if you walk could just around. Walk around, okay, I would love it. That is the best, that, the, their level design, and not just in the art style, but the actual level design, the way that they make paths cross, and all of a sudden you think you're going off on tangent and you find yourself back where you, and then they put you're you in little nooks and shit.
Looking down at where you just were.
Their level design is fucking awesome.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, what I didn't understand is, you know, I played it and I loved it. But a lot of people were complaining because they're like, well, it's just like the first one. Well, didn't you love the first game? Don't you just...
That's what I love
like,
about it.
Like, when I played the game, I was like, this is great because I'm back in that world. Yeah. I'm back in, like, right where I want to be because I love the game so much. Like, when I got done Bioshock 1, I was like, that's awesome. I want to go back to Rapture. And that's what it allows you to do.
You're in this phenomenal, rotting city that is architecturally fucking gorgeous. Awesome.
And it's actually even more decrepit from the first
game. Yeah, it's 10 years later. And then shit's just falling down and broken or tagged up. It's
creepy.
And you get more...
It's creepy.
They added more splicers. You have different genders of... not genders, but different, like... You have
types
like
of splicer.
You have the brute. You have the spider splicer.
Archetypes.
The Houdini splicer.
The big sisters are awesome.
Big sisters are
They're scary.
The, I tell you what I love.
They're really scary.
The new way to do research, the old game you took pictures, the new one where you
it's like a video
camera, where you videotape it, that is fucking great. And you get the best like perks and extra shit out of it. I maxed out all that.
My only, it's not really a complaint, but I wish they would have done it. I would have liked to seen you be able to save the videos that you took. Like, watch them over again. I think that would have
been a good PC function.
Yeah. But.
Oh, well, actually, to go back to my one complaint about being too hard and at the same time too easy, I went over the too easy bit with the Via Chambers, but in the too hard sense, you get swarmed sometime in that game.
A lot, yeah.
And these guys will sharpshoot you from a distance, and you take a... In the first game, when you were just a human, you didn't take as much damage as you do in this game as a big, armored big daddy.
Especially, like, I felt like in the end, like, there's... Without any spoilers, there's no real end boss, but, like, the end of the game, they throw... just an unheard-of amount of bad guys at you, and it's just like, deal with that.
At that point, I had no problem. That was one of the easier fights for me.
Well, like, they didn't really have a boss. Like, it's not like the first game
where waves.
You fight Fontaine or whatever. Oh, spoiler alert, sorry.
You know, going along with the level design comment, you know, when you're getting swarmed like that, it really forces you to use the level design
utilize
to your advantage.
Yeah, I agree.
Setting up traps is a big deal in this game. There's a lot of different traps you can use. One of the things, I don't know if anyone, I don't think Topo used it as much as I did. I don't know if you've got it yet.
I used them a ton.
Trap rivets, I used.
Trap rivets. I avoided, actually.
Really? See, now, when I was harvesting, I'd set up the trap all over the place. I'd get in, like, a room and just fucking...
Yeah. I would have two security bots.
Right.
I'd have the trap bolts when I got those. And I got the air trap early. And the upgraded air trap, you hit with another plasmid.
Whoa!
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Flash.
Thank you. What was that?
Jesus Christ. Holy
Well, so updated the level 2 air trap, you could throw that on the ground, and you could hit it with fire, ice, whatever, and it would become a fire trap, or a hypnotized trap. Or you could put it with a second air trap, and it would really launch them.
See, and now that's a good reason to play the game over again.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of plasmids I never really utilized, which in retrospect, I would have liked to. Hypnotize, I used way more than I thought I would.
Yeah,
I did the whole defensive things against these, like, you play Little Sister Defense a lot, like Topo was saying. Once I got the hypnotized plasmid, I would just stand there, just throw those, let them beat the shit out of each other. I wanted to fire a shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
now, here's a question. Going again, towards the little sister defense thing.
Yeah.
I started harvesting the little sisters, like, towards the
end. I couldn't do it.
Can't bring myself to do it.
I felt awful, and when you actually do it, you feel terrible.
I can't do it.
Now, you can get her to harvest stuff for you. And then kill her. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the idea, because then you can get everything. Yeah.
You
can still get the bad ending and get everything in the game.
Right.
I tell you what pissed me off was one level. Okay, I was just praising the levels on. There's one level that fucked my world up in that. One level you end up going through. You walk across the bottom of the ocean to get from one point to another point.
Which is cool.
Which was very cool. On one side, so when you rescue a little sister, you can follow around, she'll do her little sister duties, and you can get all the Adam out of it. Well, I get to this one last little sister, and I picked her up on the wrong side of the level. I've got her up on my shoulder. I've got to walk. The bodies I need to harvest are in the front side, on the other side of the water. I can't take her through the bottom of the ocean, so I got gypped out of like 80 Adam.
Oh, that sucks.
But other than that, fucking great. So, if you haven't played Bioshock 1, play Bioshock 1.
Yeah.
Dude, do not play Bioshock 2 without playing Bioshock 1.
Nah, you won't enjoy it.
You won't enjoy it. Well, you might, but you won't get as much enjoyment out of it.
None of us have played the multiplayer, right? Because I didn't play it.
I didn't bother.
I haven't.
Yeah. Like, in Bioshock 2, you get so much more fleshed out about some of the characters in Bioshock 1. There's one whole scene where you're in, like, the museum of, like, the main guy from Bioshock 1. And I just spent the entire time just
looking around, reading stuff.
Just loving it.
Yeah. So, I don't give a shit about the multiplayer.
No, I don't care either. And they did a great job with all the, you find these audio diaries, and that kind of paints a broader picture of the world you live in. And they do a really good job. Voice acting.
It's 10, great. 10 plus. From a story standpoint, from an immersion standpoint, you're not, it's probably the most immersive game of 2000.
Production value is through the roof.
I'll give you that brilliant. Right now. It's probably going to be the most immersive game of 2010. Now, I haven't played Mass Effect 2, which got a ton of praise too. So maybe, but the Bioshock 2, fucking delightful.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to be tonight's show, but we'll be back this week, and we're going to talk about the potential, how if it's going to be good or bad, the new Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm.
We're going to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, kablam!
About some more comic book stuff. Maybe we'll have Kate Gosselin on. Maybe we'll have some more Steven Seagal. All kinds of
Kate
shit.
Kate Gosselin's been itching to get on to defend herself.
Yeah.
After all the haranguing we've been giving
her. I think she's here now. I don't know does she have anything to say right before we get off?
Well, she was waiting in the green room.
All right, get a green room.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey there, Topo! Hey. How are you?
Hey.
She sounds like a bird.
Hey, Kate. Well, we're not going to have you on tonight, but we'll have you on later on this week. So are you excited to be on the show?
I'm excited because it doesn't let me be around my 8 Chinese children.
What is that noise you're making?
That's how my voice sounds.
Well, sound like a harpy.
But everybody listening, you got that to look forward to.
You got this to look forward to because I'll be on later because I hate being around my kids. So,
we'll have a definite exciting week of Molehole Radio wackiness for you guys.
My vagina's like a tent ball.
Like a what?
A tent ball? Tent.
Well, anyway, Vinny, do you have any parting words for our audience?
Fuck Steven Seagal.
Nope.
Gogs, any final words for our audience?
If you get a chance, just smash the shit out of something with a giant sledgehammer.
Here.
It is the fucking best.
I think we can all agree with that. And on that note, this is El Topo, and we will see you later.
Good night.
Boners! Bye.